Book of Ruth. This is the eighth book in the Bible. It's a little book that's easy to pass over, but that will be the focus of several different scriptures that we'll point to throughout the morning. The book of Ruth. And as you're turning or navigating or scrolling there, would you just pray with me? Lord, we pray that your word would have its effect in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for the personal touch that you have put into our lives by building relationships in such a way that we get to understand a little bit about you through the people around us, and particularly through fathers. Lord, I ask that this morning you would help me to communicate a little bit of your glory by taking a look at a particular person whose principles he lived according to, kind of demonstrated your goodness and who you are to the world. And Lord, I pray that we would see your goodness through Boaz and through his life, and let these words be an encouragement to all of us as fathers, and let it be a point of noting and paying attention to for those who will one day be fathers. May these kinds of characteristics that we will look at be put into place in our lives. And Lord, we just sang that you are a perfect father. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're a good, good father. And Lord, yet we are not, and we often fail. We're not perfect. We're not always good fathers. I pray for those of us who have things for which we need to ask forgiveness or things that we need to put right, that you would grant reconciliation. Many of us may have strained relationships with our fathers, and insofar as it depends upon us and is possible, I pray that you would bring about a kind of resolution very soon in every instance represented in this room. So Lord, give us the sense of your Spirit. Give us the ability to receive this morning what you would have us to pay attention to. And I pray most of all that you would encourage our hearts. So Lord, let your word build us up. Let your word be solid footing underneath us, firm ground to stand on. And I pray that principles that we see this morning would be enacted through our lives as we commit ourselves as fathers to act accordingly. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We've been making our way through the book of Ruth, and we've sort of rounded things out, but as I was thinking and praying about where we might focus a little time, and there are not very many good examples of fathers in the scripture. A lot of they're confused because we have this mixed bag of men who emulate godly character, but also come along and bring along with them mistakes. Like King David, for example. King David is a biblical hero for a lot of people, and yet if you look at how he fathered his children, he didn't do all that well. He made a few other mistakes too, but there are many examples of godly men who have also incorporated into their lives serious mistakes. And yet, as I was praying about this and looking at the person of Boaz, it just struck me that there are certain principles that we could sort of glean from his life that might be helpful for all of us as fathers. And so, fathers, I hope you pay attention. And those of you who are potential fathers, who one day will be fathers, I hope you're paying attention too. And I pray that the Lord would give us some sense of goodness for what we might see out of God's word here. So we celebrate this day, not because it's an American holiday, but because it's part of the commands of God. It's the fifth commandment to honor fathers and mothers. But fathers are the particular focus for today. And so we want to be obedient by honoring fathers and understanding what that looks like. And I think when we look at the culture around us, we might get confused. What does it mean to be a godly father? And as I looked at Boaz and sort of went through chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Ruth, there's just a handful of characteristics that I think might be helpful for you. And that's what I'm praying, that all of us would be able to receive a little bit of the encouragement of Boaz in our lives as we look to a particular example of the kind of man, the kind of father that we would want to emulate. And the reason I say he is someone that we should emulate is because Naomi, when she thinks about Boaz, she sees him as a person through whom blessing comes. She says in chapter 2, verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living nor the dead." Naomi looked at Boaz and she saw a man who exemplified kindness and goodness that came to Ruth. And so through her, she's the beneficiary of Boaz's kindness and his goodness. And he's not forsaking. God is actively at work through Boaz in their lives. And fathers in this room, do you have a sense that God's calling on your life to be a father is part of his desire to work out his will in the lives of the people around you? I pray that every one of us would. Every one of us as fathers would see God at work in us, working his will into the lives of the people around us. That's a high calling. It is a calling for us to make visible to our children, our wives, our co-workers, our family, to make visible the invisible attributes of God through kindness and love and some other things that we'll see this morning. So I don't care what age you are or at what stage you are in being a father. There's something here for us to pay attention to, and I pray that the Lord would give us ears to hear, because I want it to be said of all of us as fathers, he's a blessing to me. God's kindness and goodness has come to me through him. And fathers, if that's something that resonates with you, I want to get really crazy and ask you, would you stand? If you want to be a person who is a blessing to your children and to your wife, and God's love and goodness flows through you to them, would you stand? Thank you. I want to ask that as you listen this morning, would you receive what God would say? How can I then, if this is my desire, I want to be a blessing. I want to be someone whose goodness flows, God's goodness flows through, outward from me and into the lives of the people around us. And so there's six principles that I see in Boaz's life as we sort of look at how he lived his life. And the first one is that I think we as fathers need to be reminded that people are more important than productivity. Guys, we can probably get deeply into our work, can't we? We can get nose down in the task of the moment and simply forget the people around you. Does anybody fall into that category? You can get so driven that you just neglect the people that are around us. Boaz was a person who paid attention to the people around him. And the verse that I look to get that is chapter 2, verse 4. This is the first conversation that we see between Boaz and Ruth. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" Boaz is paying attention to the people around him. He doesn't talk about work. That's not the first thing on. He doesn't open up the to-do list as he bumps into these guys. He comes to them, and the first thing he says is, "May the Lord bless you." He pays attention to, these are day laborers. They're guys that are just in the field working with their hands. And he says to them, "May God bless you in your work." And their response is, "May the Lord bless you too." And he's a channel of blessing. That blessing is mutual. He's both a blessing to his employees, we might say, but also they are pouring back blessing to him. And I would just submit to you that Boaz is a kind of person who pays attention to people without letting the task overwhelm him. And so he's able to have that kind of balance between work and family life, between people and priorities. And as I was thinking about how do we do this well? Are there any good examples of this? It reminded me of a picture. I don't know if you remember the picture, JFK, at work behind his desk, and beneath his desk is little JFK Jr. who's kind of playing under the desk. Right, he lives at work. He's in the middle of work. He's constantly at work. He's never not working. And yet somehow he found, maybe it was just for the photo op, I don't know, but it's a good example. Dads, can you pay attention to the people around you and love your children and love your wife and be a kind of good father that has that balance between the things that need to get done at work and the things that need to get done at home? Because we're called to do both well. Not perfectly, we won't do it perfectly, but we're called to strive to find that balance between work and home. And if you're like me, you can get task-driven and simply get blinders on to the people around you. And I don't want us to struggle with that. And I once heard Lee Iacocca said, and I've never heard a man on his deathbed who said, "Gee, I wish I had spent more time at work." That's never the priority. When you come to the end of your life, you don't think about work. It's the people who are around you who are important. I think that's a godly characteristic because God is that way. He pays attention to people. And so we as men, as fathers, need to be the kinds of men who pay attention to the people around us and not neglect them. You might easily do that. You might avoid a problem. You just want to avoid the people and focus on the task. And I would invite you not to do that, but make people the priority in your life. Boaz did. And secondly, Boaz was the kind of man who paid attention to his people. He didn't prioritize productivity. He paid attention to his people. Verse 5, Boaz said to his young men who was in charge of the reapers, "Who is this young woman?" We see this in Boaz's ability to look out across the field of his workers, and he noticed that Ruth was there, someone who wasn't normally there. He was able to look and say, there's someone who's new here, there's something different, and I want to pay attention to this. And guys, how many of you are able to ignore the obvious in stunning ways? For example, it's not a good thing when your wife comes home and says, "Do you notice anything different?" And you completely miss the fact that her hair color is changed and it's cut short. Has anybody in this room ever done that? We can simply miss what's right in front of us. Men, as fathers, pay attention to your wives. Pay attention to your children. Make it your task to know, what apps are my kids looking at? What are they doing in their spare time? What? How many of you in this room can say, "I know the grades my children just got"? You probably delegate much of this to your wives. Guys, don't abdicate your ability to be an influencer in the lives of your children by refusing to pay attention to what's going on in the lives of your children. Be actively paying attention to your people, both your wife, to your children, and knowing what's going on in their lives. And when you see something that is off or something that's different, just as Boaz realized there's someone new in the field, when your kids come home from school or something is unfolding in their life and something's not normal, take the time to say, "What's different? What's happened? What happened at college this semester? Or what happened at school today? Or why is your face so long? Or why are you sad?" Involve yourself in pouring out your energy to know your children, all of them. Study them. Study your wife. Know where she likes to go and eat. Know what her favorite color is. Know the things that bring goodness and joy to your children and initiate there. Pay attention to people. So not only prioritize people and not productivity and work, but also pay attention to your people because that's what Boaz did. Third, Boaz was a man who was able to lead his people. He was able to lead. And that's the third invitation that I would say. Fathers, lead your families. Be the leaders at home. I get this from chapter 2, verse 8 in Ruth. This is Boaz sort of starting a conversation with Ruth. He said to her, "Listen, my daughter, do not go and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women." Here's Boaz sort of taking the lead here. He's the one who first spoke. Ruth didn't. She's gleaning. She's working. She's trying to make some food for her family. And Boaz goes and he says to her, stay here. I want you to stay here. This is the place that's good for you. So you don't go anywhere else. You stay in my field. Fathers, know what is good for your family and lead them into staying and being in a place that is good for them. Know how to lead in spiritual goodness at home. Be a man who can take some steps to show spiritual initiative and leadership at home. Boaz did. He takes the first steps, and they can be very small. Whether it's praying or sharing your favorite Bible verse or a verse that you've recently been meditating on that has been good for your soul. Fathers, don't be shy in leading your children to understand the goodness of God's word. So take that step of faith. I'm just reminded, many of you had committed at the beginning of the year to memorizing scripture. And probably by now, you're about to fall flat on your face if you haven't already. Like, I've given up on scripture memorization. It's just too much to do. I'm finished. I there's too much other things to do. I can't pour my energy into it. And I just take this time to offer as an encouragement, even if all you do all week is simply say, here is a verse that I'm thinking about. Lead in that direction. Say, there's one little nugget of scriptural truth that I am meditating on. Let me share it with you. And put it in your own language. If you have little kids who can't yet get scripture, put it in your own words. Make the truth relevant to your children. Fathers, lead in this way. Like Boaz led and protected and said, here's where is good. Fathers, know the spiritual things, the good things in your life and your family that are good for your family and lead in that direction. Boaz is a good example of that kind of leadership. Fourth, Boaz was a person who protected his people. And fathers, we need to be the kind of men who can protect. I get this from verse 9 in chapter 2. Boaz says to Ruth, have I not charged the young men not to touch you? Meaning, I know where the potential problem could be, and I'm willing to step out in front to prevent a problem. I want to protect you. So I have spoken to my young men. Remember, Ruth is a foreigner. She doesn't belong in this country. She's new to Israel. She's new to Bethlehem. She's very, very new to the whole area. She doesn't know anyone. And a stranger showing up poking around in your garden, you might get ticked off at. Boaz is the kind of guy who says, I've already talked to my young men. I'm protecting you. I'm standing in between a potential conflict. Fathers, protect your children. And you might ask, from what? I think physical protection is easy for all of us to get. You want to protect your family. We went for a little ride this past week went over to Martha's Vineyard, and my mother-in-law, who is a grandmother through and through, I turn around and she's walking up with some child I've never seen before in my life. She has started a conversation with someone, and this little baby is reaching out to grandma, and so she just, may I hold the little baby? So my mother-in-law grabs this little strange child and goes parading around the ferry holding this little kid, and we were close to the railing, and the dad jumps in behind. He says, I'm just going to stand back here just to make sure, and she says, I got him, but he was protecting. He's wanting to protect his child. We get physical protection. We understand that. But men, fathers, can you protect your children from your own sinfulness? Can you protect your family from your own sinful tendencies? Maybe it's harsh words. Paul says that in Ephesians. Husbands, don't be harsh with your children. Men in this room, I suspect it's very easy for you to be harsh. You come home, you're short-tempered, you're frustrated at work, and you easily take it out on the people around you. Paul encourages us, don't be harsh. I would invite you, fathers, protect your children from harshness that they don't deserve. Don't be harsh with your words. Don't be harsh towards your wife. Remember that verse at the very beginning? Naomi noted kindness in Boaz. God's kindness had not forsaken them because it's coming to them through Boaz. And so, fathers, Protect them from your own sinfulness. Fight against your sinful tendencies that can wound your family. Your own selfishness, that tendency to serve yourself and expect to be served. Protect your family from those kind of things that can be manifested very easily in your lives. So protect your people. Fifth, provide for your people. We get that. We understand we're to provide for those around us. And Boaz is a clear example of how to do this well. Two verses I'll point you to, chapter 2, verses 9 and verse 14. Verse 9 says, Boaz says to Ruth, "When you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." In other words, go, if you're thirsty, go get some water from what the other guys have already drawn. Verse 14, "At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.' So she sat beside the reapers, and Boaz passed her the roasted grain. She ate until she was satisfied." Fathers, we are responsible to be the primary providers for our family. We're called to make sure that we take care of the needs of our family. We need to take that responsibility and do that. And I think in balancing that responsibility, it's easy for us to serve ourselves and say, "I deserve this little hobby. I can spend the money here. This is me. I've worked hard for this." And so we put ourselves up in front. And I would encourage you, dads, don't do that. Let your modeling of who a father should be sacrificial to your children. I'll share one example from my father. He never took the last piece of food on the table, whatever it was. If it was a chicken leg or the last little lump of mashed potatoes or whatever it was, I mean, his plate was clean, but he would never take that last little bit of food. He always left that for us. I never got what he was doing until years later, and I realized that he was intentionally saying, "Sons, wife, you guys take the last bit. I'm not going to take it." He was a kind of sacrificial giving in those moments. Now, he had plenty of other selfish parts of his life that he failed in, but that was one good and godly example. And I just encourage you, realize your children are watching you. Everything you do speaks, whether they get it at the moment or not. How are you modeling Christ-like serving kind of love in providing for your children? They're watching you. Even if you're older, it doesn't matter. If your kids are grown, you can still communicate that kind of love. Figure out how to do that and do it well. But protect and provide for your people. Sixth, the final tendency that I see in Boaz is to put to death that tendency to procrastinate. Guys, you struggle with getting things done? Here's Boaz as a great example of a person who, when it's time to do things, he went and did it. Chapter 3, verse 18. Naomi is talking to Ruth, and she says, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Now, what's the matter? The matter that needs to be settled is whether or not Boaz is going to be able to marry Ruth. We remember that. But the point here is, as soon as the sun came up that morning, he went immediately to take care of this situation. And I think one of the fatal flaws in every man, we have this malicious code written into the fiber of our soul that says, "Why would I do something today and when I can wait until tomorrow? Why would I do something now when I can put it off?" I see some guys laughing in here. This is something within us that we have this tendency to be lazy and to put things off. And I would encourage you, fathers, put that to death. Put that sinful tendency to avoid. Put it to death. Put that tendency to delay and push away and not take initiative. Put that to death. Boaz was a person who, when it was time to act, he did. He went and he made sure that everything was settled that day. And when it needs to be done, get it done. Guys, don't be lazy in your parenting. It takes consistent, earnest effort to be a good father. And I know you're exhausted. We come home from work. We're worn out. But don't let your own physical limitations keep you from being a good and godly example at work. How can I say that? I can say it because I know that the Lord supplies strength to us as fathers that we don't have. He gives us a supply of energy and strength that's outside of us if we're depending upon Him. So look to Him for the energy and the strength to be a consistent father in all that we do at home. So in concluding, fathers, be a blessing to your family. Prize the people in your life above productivity. Pay attention to the people around you, to the details that are you're involved in your children's life, who they're spending time with, what's happening in their lives. Fathers, lead your people, protect your people, provide for your people, and put to death that sinful tendency to procrastinate. And all of this, the goal behind it is to make visible these characteristics in God the Father. Your kids can't see God the Father. He is spirit. None of us can see Him. And yet He is very real. And He becomes real when the qualities and characteristics of His own nature become manifested in the lives of us as fathers and of you potential fathers in your lives. God the Father prioritizes people over productivity. Jesus came to die to remove sin from preventing us from enjoying a relationship with God the Father. Jesus died for people. He gave Himself so that we could enjoy that fellowship with God the Father. And so we, in prioritizing people in our life, are emulating the very nature of God Himself. And God the Father pays attention to us. Remember the verses that Jesus says, God has every hair on your head numbered? Michael, you don't have to count very much, right? God pays attention to His people. He knows the details of your life. He knows birds that fall. He knows every aspect of the difficulties at work. He knows the challenges of His people. He knows the emotional grief that you're going through. And fathers, when you're involved in the life of the people around you in that way, you're emulating the character of God to your children. You're helping your children see what God is like. God is a God who cares about the details of our lives, and He leads His people. God is not trying to make His will unknown for you. Some people think, why? What is God's will for me? Well, there's a whole book that tells us what His will is. And the one thing that is very clear is that it is God's will, according to John 6, verses 34 and 35, that you put your faith in Jesus, that you trust in Him for your salvation, that you look to Him for righteousness, not your own. We don't have any. And so what is God's will? His will is for fathers, you to teach your children how to trust in Jesus as Savior. Lead your people in coming to Christ. That's what God is doing. He is leading this world to His Son. Jesus is the only one who died and rose again from the dead to prove that He is accepted by God and that salvation is possible through Him. God has given us His Son so that we can find our way to Him. Fathers, help your children know that. And God the Father protects His people. He protects us against sin. Sin is our greatest enemy. It is the thing that keeps us from the Father. And Jesus came in order to remove that barrier. He paid for that sin. He removed God's just wrath so that we could enjoy a wonderful, intimate fellowship with God the Father. That's what Jesus does. And if we do that same kind of leading, we're emulating the character of God. And He provides for us. The book of Psalms says that God opens His hand and gives us our food. Fathers, you're not ultimately responsible for your paycheck. In bringing food into the family, God is. He gives you the ability, the talent to use your brain, to think, to work hard, to use your arms, your strong muscles, to go and be diligent at work. But it's the Lord who gives you that ability. God provides for His people. He opens His hand and feeds us all. And in the end, God the Father doesn't procrastinate. God is not a lazy God. He never slumbers or sleeps, the Bible tells us. Fathers, as you model that kind of diligence, you're revealing the character of God. So I know it's a heavy task, isn't it, to say to all of you fathers in this room that it's part of your calling in this world to emulate the character of God. That could be weighty, but I don't think it's intended to be. I think us depending upon the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life gives us the ability to do what we can't do on our own and in our own strength. And so I commend to you, realize God has a plan for your relationship to your children and to your wife. And part of that is to reveal the unseen character of God to the people who are watching you. And your children are watching you. Your wives are watching you. Young men, if you don't have, you're still young, you're not married yet, one day you may be a father. Embrace these kind of characteristics. Embrace godly living out of all of the plan and the will of the Lord. And do it now. Begin cultivating habits that will be a blessing to the people around you. And so these are blessings that have come to us through looking at Boaz's life. I pray that you would be a blessing to the people around you. I pray that you would begin to prioritize people, that you would pay attention to your people, that you would protect your people, provide for your people, and put to death any kind of tendency to procrastinate. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask you, please, to pour out your Spirit upon the fathers in this room. Lord, give us the ability to look to you, to do what is impossible. You are perfect, and we can't perfectly emulate your character in this world. But you give us your Spirit as we trust in your Son. As we cry out for help, you hear our prayers. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a humble, contrite spirit that would beg and plead that you would help us put to death the sin that remains in our lives so that we can rightly demonstrate to our children and to our wives and to our co-workers and to our family members the kind of character that you bless. Let every father in this room be a blessing to their children. Let every husband be a blessing to their wives. Let us be tender-hearted and compassionate. God, please keep us from unkind, harsh words. Let the goodness of your Spirit fill us. Lord, I pray that we would submit our lives to you through Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.